Welcome to episode 4.
Oh my lord.
Of the Touring Circus podcast.
Can't believe we've caught up so many times and didn't go to work together at the same time.
We're going to work tonight.
Yes, yeah, separately.
Oh, yeah.
No gigs tonight together.
No, correct.
Yeah.
Oh, that's silly. I forgot about that. This is Dom. My name's Matt. Cat whisperer. Guitarist, singer. What do you do?
Me?
Yeah.
This is what I do quite often.
What, just nothing?
Just kind of look at the world and just wonder where my place is.
Oh,
I know. It's been a rough week. Yeah, it's self-imposed rough week.
You trouble me when you speak like that.
Oh, I don't mean to.
I worry for you.
It's okay. Yeah, trouble is...
Your middle name.
It's not my middle name.
Oh.
No.
No.
My middle name's Giuseppe. Do you know why... Do you know my brother's middle name is Giuseppe as well?
I did not know
that. Yeah, so of course, my dad's name is Giuseppe. And so when I was born, it's Dominic Giuseppe Italiano. And then, you know, 5.5 years later, comes time to name my little brother. And my dad's... well, we have to call him Giuseppe too, because we can't have
Giuseppe
to,
too?
Not Giuseppe too, Mark too. what if he grows up and feels like he's been left out because, you know, the first son got my name and he gets someone else's name? So there's no, there literally is no such thing as a favourite child in my family, unless of course you ask us all individually.
Hang on, what's Chilena's middle name?
Angela.
Okay, well that's good, because otherwise...
Chilena Giuseppe Italiano would be weird. Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, Giuseppe, Joe, could have just been J-O.
You could have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Giuseppe, G-I, not Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, G-I.
Oh, huh? Nice one.
Yeah. Oh, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Why couldn't there be a... See, in this ever increasingly equal world, G.I. Joe should just be G.I. J.O. And G.I. Joe should be a girl. How come that hasn't happened yet? Kickstar. I'm all over it.
Does it need to be?
There's got to be one of everything, dude.
Why?
Well, that's not me speaking. That's the increasingly hysterical moral majority. Majority.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, like so often, you would surely see this, that the people that get most up in arms and down in legs, but up in arms about perceived injustices against certain sectors of society, they're not the people that are the ones that are apparently being wronged. They're the people that think it's their job to stand up for the people who are
that's true.
Being wronged. I'm doing lots of air quotes, but they deserve it.
Do you think that's because it's...
You look tired just thinking about it.
Do you think it's less about the people who are being wronged and then standing up and trying to oppose the people who are doing the wronging? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's... not so much about...
I think it's fine to stand up for people who don't have a voice. I think that's absolutely what we should all do as people who are in a better position to be able to do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But I think that there are countless examples of times where people are being stood up for who don't require it or want it.
Well, yeah, I guess it's not something I've thought about.
Really?
Yeah.
You, of all people.
Well, what I find interesting about that is the people who are doing the standing up are often doing a lot of shouting.
Yeah.
Right, so that, for me, so my mum shouted a lot when I was a kid, right?
Oh, so
lovely woman. Like, can't say a bad thing
did
about my mum.
Did you get hit as a child?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Never. Me never.
Really?
Never.
Well, I was a pretty good kid, so I didn't get hit a lot. But we got smacked for stuff, you know. Don't do that. Smack. Mm. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, it was only a couple of times I really got belted around. Yeah, but not a child abuse way. It was
being a shit.
It was being a shit, like, you know. And so, good way to stop some consequences. I find it funny, like, when I hear kids now, like 4-year-old kids, it's like, I don't want consequences. Right? They understand that consequences means getting punished. Where when I was a kid, you just got smacked. There was no real conversation. Like, you know, you're not allowed to do that. I've told you not to do it. Smack. It was like instant. And you're, okay, well.
There will be, not amongst our subscribers, but there will be people who will hear that story. The people I was talking about just a moment ago, who will think that someone should go into bat for you.
Well, I like the idea that they're going into bat violently against some about violence.
Retrospectively, they're going to have to find some retribution against your parents for their terrible behaviour. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that would be wrong.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've turned out all right, despite all the smacks.
All the smacks. But back to just the original point I was trying to make.
And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
No, not you. I went off there too. So mum was a shouter. And so it was just my inclination now as an adult, when I hear someone shouting, I do not care. I don't care what you're talking about. If you can only approach this situation by shouting at me or just shouting, I have zero interest in listening to what you have to say. At all, which is really funny because that's how I think politicians work. That whole thing about question time and these grown-ups, paid public servants that shout at each other, it's just unfathomable.
Yep,
and that even in our society that we let them do it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it, you know.
Yep,
so I actually feel like maybe I should be one of those people that gets up in arms and down in legs over it and just gets to the point where you're like, you're not allowed to do that anymore. You can't, it's an international embarrassment that our leaders do that.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. No, I'm with you 100%. I used to listen to Question Time quite a lot, and now I don't. There are other more
granted, important, most of the times I hear things from Question Time is when they show snippets of, or play snippets on the radio, of them shouting at each other. And I'm sure there are times during that kind of parliamentary debate.
The times that they're not doing that is boring as sin. Yeah, so.
But, jeez, I think it's...
And there's an oxymoron for you, boring as sin.
But I feel like, as you're saying, often when I hear people doing the standing up and defending someone, whether they're, you know, a minority group or whatever it might be, that I don't necessarily pay attention to... This is actually just how I feel about almost everything. I'm not so much concerned about what they're saying as to the way that they're saying it. You know, it's like...
Have you ever been to a protest?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you feel it was worthwhile?
I felt like...
What was it, if you don't mind sharing? Otherwise...
I've been to a few.
Okay.
I've been to a few because I've been asked to go. And I did get that overwhelming feeling of there's a lot of people that just want to do some shouting at stuff. And that's not to say that their intention of why they were upset about it or it wasn't valid, because clearly, opposing uranium mining, you know, sacred sites and things like that.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with that. But I also got the feeling like when I was at that particular rally, I got the feeling that, like, the message is getting lost now because you're shouting at people. Like, it gets to the point where you just go, I care less because of the way you're delivering it. And that's how I feel about music. It's how I feel about lots of things. It's like, you know, if you're gonna be like that, I don't care. Which is not particularly admirable on my part. In a sense, it was like, I should probably actually focus on the issue, but I feel like I've got a finite amount of energy, and that really drains me. And it probably does go back to me being a kid and getting shouted at a lot, you know.
Oh, maybe.
I mean,
obviously there's an emotional intelligence to you that sees past the lack of value in that situation at that time. So the message gets lost in the shouting. That's not because it goes back to your childhood. That's because that's actually what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And just making a lot of noise doesn't make it any better.
I just remember the thing, like, you know, Mum doing some housework and she'd go, well, don't help me then. All right. Do you want me to help? Just ask me to help. Like, I'll sorry. I know that what in an ideal...
She shouldn't have to ask.
Well, I know in an ideal world you'd say, what can I do to help? And as an adult, I've become someone who is much better at that.
Mm.
just clearing the table and starting the dishes, you know, that's something that you learn. I think you learn it because you're an adult and you have your own life where that shit's got to get done. So if you're somewhere, you'll help out.
My mother used to get really annoyed that I would help out next door.
Yeah.
My next door neighbour would tell stories about how helpful I'd been, kind of vacuuming and stuff. And I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like nine.
Yeah.
Not just help out over there, but not at home.
Oh, my mum and dad won't remember this, right? And they'll hate this story.
Will they listen to this?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I think if anyone we know listens to it, they'll probably tell them this story.
Good.
So I used to live near Werribee Plaza, and there was a Food Plus store, you know, like a 7-Eleven. And I used to go in there, and there was a competition to win a Skittles skateboard. And so whenever someone bought Skittles, you know, you write your name on a receipt and then put it in the barrel. And so I would go in because I really wanted to win the skateboard, and I would buy like the little packet, you know, 8 Skittles in it for 10 cents or whatever it was, and I would fill in this thing because I really wanted to win this
thing. Are you talking about the 40s?
You're close, yeah.
10 cents?
Yeah.
Can't buy anything for 10 cents.
You know how the pick and mix bags? You know where you bought
10 cents?
Yeah.
Never.
True. And eventually I said, I was told, because I go in there almost every day and over summer holidays, and I say, is there any job I can do to earn some more money so I can buy some more Skittles so I can win this skateboard? And they got me to sweep the car park, right? So I swept the car park up and they gave me like $3. And then it was this thing, here's $3, here's my $3, a bunch of Skittles, and I wrote my name down like a bunch of times. And I'm sure these ladies totally...
I'm so bad at mental arithmetic, so I'm trying to... Ticks. I'm trying to work out...
30 packets of Skittles, yeah.
No, not 30.
Yeah, 10 cents.
Was 10 cents for 8 and you got $3?
No. It's 10 cents for one. 10 cents per packet. Don't get caught up on the math, dude. I'm sure the ladies in there just thought I was just so obsessed with this thing that they manipulated it so I did win the Skittle skateboard, but I did. But when I went home and told my mum what I'd done, she said, I can't get you to do anything around here.
And you swept the bloody car park.
I swept the car park.
Brilliant.
Can't get you to do anything around here. And I said, well, I'll do it for $3 so I can buy the thing. And that was it. So I won the skateboard, right? And my mum wouldn't let me ride it for the first day because she was so grumpy that I swept the car park.
Wow.
So I came home with this thing and I was like, I won this. And is that for sweeping the car park? No, you can't go out.
I had a conversation with my mother on the phone on the way here today where she was telling me about, okay, so it's her sister, so my auntie's grandson's son. What does that make him to me? Is he anything to me? Fifth cousin or something?
Don't even understand.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't met him. Yeah, they live down in
Stranger. It's a stranger.
So he's just turned 7, I think.
Do you miss that person, knowing that you're related to someone and that you have a connection but you don't know them?
No.
Okay, good.
Should I?
I don't know. Just wondering.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm a terrible person. So I've not met this kid. He's just turned 7. He wears glasses. I've seen some pictures of him, and they're quite thick glasses.
Yeah.
And Mum said to me on the phone today, the same as when you were that age. I said, I didn't have glasses when I was that age. Yes, you did. Well, no, I didn't. I didn't get glasses until I was about 12. When all of a sudden, when I finally did get glasses, I realised that, for one, that stars in the night sky didn't look like they did in picture books, like a little dot of light with all these...
Because before that, they did look like that for you.
Forever.
Oh, because they were blurry.
So I needed glasses when I was this kid's age, but I didn't bloody have them.
Right.
Which is fine, because no one was supposed to know. But yeah, like, you know, and all of a sudden the writing on the blackboard was, oh, chalk actually isn't this wide. My name is Mr. Braithwaite.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had no idea. But anyway, so I didn't get glasses until I was well into my double figures. And yeah, just my mum...
Thought you did.
But what she said, and she... maybe she realised maybe she realised when I said no that she was wrong, because she said, oh, well, I'm not going to argue about it now. Let's talk about it. She never backs down that quickly.
Oh, really?
She'll keep on going.
So. Oh, that's gold.
But I was living in Indonesia when I was 7.
All right. Yeah, they don't have glasses there.
No glasses. Yeah. Fred Hollows wasn't around. My house?
Fred. What a guy. What a guy.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to you this week?
Oh, really? I couldn't even get into the conversation about it.
Oh.
Yeah, harrowing couple of days.
Oh.
Emotionally, not bad. Like, no one... Yeah. That thing of where you go, oh, I've got a wonderful family, my parents love me, my brother's great, my sister's awesome, why do I think I've got such a tough life? Oh, I don't. Buddy. And it's just that thing. It becomes quite quickly like, I'm pretty fortunate. I live a pretty good life. Why am I having trouble with it? And then because... I live such a fortunate life that nobody's standing up and defending me to some group at the top of their voice.
Okay.
But it does feel sometimes like that would be handy to have.
All right, we'll leave that to one side.
Yeah, cool. I did book a flight to Las Vegas.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm good.
You don't gamble, though, do you?
Not anymore. Mm. I have. Mm. Yeah. That's a whole other conversation.
I'll leave that to one side too. I need a checklist of the things I should and shouldn't mention.
That's all right. We'll go through the podcasts and we'll get someone to transcribe them, and then we can put those notes to the side. And then we'll put a whiteboard up over there.
So tell me.
Yeah.
Because I am unaware, obviously. Or I wouldn't say tell me. Oh, maybe I would.
Yeah. I heard someone say this to me today. I heard something. It might be true or not true. But I heard this the other day. I had to interrupt her and say, I think you could probably say that about everything that's ever been said. I hear this thing. It might be true. It might be not true.
Were they about to ask you your opinion on whether you thought it was true or not true?
Oh, I don't know. No, we just laughed about it and moved on. No, we didn't even talk about it.
Great.
Yeah.
Does iTunes decide whether we have the little red E explicit? Or do we?
I don't know.
Because I don't remember. I mean, I don't set out to swear. I know I did last episode, and I don't think I have yet. No, not cue for a gag.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the iTunes podcast technology yet. We've just been recording.
We should organise that.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to know, because iTunes wouldn't sit down and listen to what we've got to say and then say, you know, like they did in the old days, waiting by the telephone, John Payne just said bum! That was an octogenarian.
Hey, you know, I once went to an 80s party as in a wheelchair. I had a wig and a little little shawl over my legs, and I wheeled in, and then it was like,
John, what are you doing?
It's an 80s party. Yeah.
Very good.
And that was the last time I was ever invited to anything.
Oh, that's not true.
Yeah. And I'm about to turn halfway to 80. I've decided good now, Lord. That's how I'm going to, when people say, how old are you? I'm just going to say, halfway to...
Okay, well, John Mayer had his quarter-life crisis at 25.
Well, that's optimistic.
Well, obviously, halfway to 80 isn't the same as middle age.
No. Well, it is if I only make it to 80.
Oh, are you hoping to make it past there?
This is funny, because I'm 39, so I've just hit my late 30s.
Mm.
So, what I'm saying is
you haven't.
Well, no. What I'm just trying to point out is if you take a start point and an end point, everything else is in the middle.
Yes.
So, 31 is early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
39 is late, and everything else is mid 30s. So,
I don't know if you'd get.
No one seems to want
some agreement.
No one wants to agree with me on that.
But 32 is early 30s. 38 is late 30s. 36 is mid 30s.
32.
37 is no man's land.
Is between 31 and 39. It's as equally as mid as anything else. In that.
Stop thing. Messing with my shoes.
Didn't mean to. Apologise. Hey, should we do some more question asking?
Yeah.
In this, like, getting to know you episode... For because
I'd like to tell you one other thing that happened to me.
Oh,
well, actually, it didn't happen to me. It happened to my car.
Oh no!
No, nothing, nothing. No, it's fixable. It's fine. But I came out today to drive to you, and my car appears to have been attacked by some gastrically challenged pterodactyls.
They had been around your car prior to last night because your bonnet was covered in pterodactyl excrement yesterday evening, I noticed. I didn't want to say anything to you about it.
Bad? Mm. What? That's a covered?
Airport? You were in Brisbane. Airport. Did you go to Brisbane?
No, I was in Gold Coast.
All right, you're going to Brisbane this week. I kicked them away.
I was in Queensland on the Gold Coast for the opening of the new Dracula show.
Which you do the music for.
Tom's setting up stuff so we can appear to be professional about what we do. Yeah, I've been their musical director now music producer.
Longer
director,
than you remember.
Longer than I remember. I thought it was 11 years. I was chatting to one of the producers the other night and he suggested that it was more like 13. You think it might be that as well, 13?
I think about that because it was... I really think you were working on it.
Isn't that amazing?
We lived together 3 of your houses ago and many more of mine.
Wow. Mm. So super good fun. Super good fun. So when I first started working...
What's Dracula's?
Dracula's is a theatre restaurant.
Yes. Is it a chain?
There's two of them. So the first one was here in Melbourne.
It's a link.
It's a
chain. Do you need 3 links to be a chain?
Yes.
Because 2 is just a link, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a chain.
Yeah.
3 is barely a chain.
So it's a franchise? Is it a franchise?
No.
Family-owned. I don't like how they call films franchises. I don't like that.
No, I also don't like the way that bands are increasingly becoming brands.
Bands and brands.
Yeah, yeah, bands are becoming brands.
Right.
As in they're furthering their brand.
Ah, yeah.
It's less about the music and more about the franchise nature of the act.
Yep.
Yeah. Similar.
Okay. Back to Dracula's, your theatre restaurant.
So I suspect that over the course of however long it's been that theatre restaurants have been in existence, which is quite some time, I actually want to be able to tell you how long Dracula's has been there, but I can't. It might be 31
Wowza.
Years. It's that had an anniversary recently, and it was a pretty big one, but family-owned. So the Newmans are the name of the family, and the current two brothers and sister who own and run Dracula's, their parents, Tiki and John, used to have theatre restaurants. Had a theatre restaurant, comedy theatre restaurant here in Melbourne.
That
my godmother and father, who used to live in Mount Eliza, used to go to. So back in the day, it was... I didn't find this out until reasonably recently. It was quite the thing to go to.
Yeah.
And my auntie...
It is now. Dracula's is a big deal.
Yeah, lots of Melbourneites still haven't been, though.
No, but theatre restaurants
have got a bit of a bad reputation of being... Well, just not necessarily very good.
Oh,
and the food not necessarily being very good. And just not only because I'm a part of the organisation, I can tell you that isn't true. It's an incredibly slick show. We should go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. When I first started doing their music, I would provide them a 2-track, so a left and right, a CD, effectively.
Yeah.
A mini disc, though.
Yeah.
And they would hit play on the mini disc player and the cast would dutifully sing along. It's kind of like karaoke.
Yeah.
So they sang, there was no miming or anything. And then at the end of that song, they would press stop and then they'd do their comedy bit and they'd do their next act and then play for the next song. And now they run a system called QLab, which is like a state-of-the-art industry multi-track playback system. So I now will provide them a drum track and a bass track, the same way you and I would record in the studio if we didn't have a full live band. We put down the drums, then we put down the bass part, then we put down the 3 guitar parts and then the keyboards and then, you know.
The other stuff, yeah.
Because they have live musicians. But if someone's out sick, if the drummer's out sick, up goes the stereo drum track.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's incredibly sophisticated. They've just put a new Mayer sound system in there in Queensland. You know, the so much money's been spent on the place. And so it's pretty remarkable. And I learn something new from a studio perspective. I learn something new every time I do it.
Awesome.
And just new toys, new sounds and new stuff. And then all of a sudden I have to recreate. Well, I didn't realise until I went to see My Fair Lady a little while ago that there's a song in the show called Ascot Gavotte. Do you know it?
Oh, that's me saying no, but actually sorry, I just shook my head.
Yeah, apologies. And so I had to recreate that, and it's a, well, it's an orchestral thing.
Yeah.
Not orchestral. It's not all performed by birds. Which is incredibly challenging to not have an orchestra and to just sit there with a keyboard and try to make something sound like an orchestra.
I have to say, I used to think orchestral maneuvers in the dark was all
just kestrel. Just seabirds doing stuff at night.
I don't think they're seabirds. They're like
kestrels.
Yeah, they birds of prey, like falcons. Yeah.
Okay, well, there goes the E.
Yeah.
Oh, falcons. I thought.
Maybe. No, I've been wrong before.
Yeah, but I believe you about so much stuff because you know a lot of things.
I know a lot about birds. It's not true at all, but I was very convincing in the way I just said I know a lot about birds. Yeah. Okay. I do know how to cook one.
Oh, dude.
I know. I've been able to keep three alive for 6 months.
Why does it always have to be about the cooking and eating of our feathered and furry friends?
The easiest way to be able to eat them is to not think of them as friends.
The easiest way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's not the only way, obviously. No, no. Well, it's the easiest way.
Yeah. It's a way that works for me. Yeah. So you've been in Queensland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so I was like the correcting that. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, it just went up.
And when you came back, you realised that pterodactyls are crapped on your car.
Yeah. Yeah. In some spectacular fashion.
Well, you'd expect it to be. How are you spelling crap? Because, like, pterodactyl.
Well, the P still goes at the end of the word crap. Don't panic. It's fine.
P-crap.
Yeah.
I like it.
What was the last book you read?
Oh, last book I finished all the way through? Or the last book I read?
All right,
because I could actually pick up this camera now and take it to that coffee table, and there is at least two dozen books open. They're mostly poetry books and short story books.
Is dozen an old-fashioned word?
Dozen?
Yeah.
I think it's probably... Oh, you mean as in 12?
Yeah.
I was like, I was just thinking dozen. A dozen do this. A dozen do that. Or I remember a friend of mine's dad was Scottish and... doesn't he do this? Doesn't he do that?
Good.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. Mm. I don't know. Dozen must be.
I've been training myself to use it because I really like the way it sounds.
Dozen.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it ages us unnecessarily to use the word dozen. We live in an increasingly metric world.
I think the late nights and alcohol are the things that are aging us unnecessarily.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
we both had a late one separate to one another, didn't we?
Yes.
Just recently?
We did. The last book I've read... all the way through, as in a novel, I actually did read Infinite Jest.
Really?
Yeah. And it took me 6 months because I had to reread lots of it.
That's hard.
Yeah. The reason why I had to reread lots of things is because the dialogue is written with the accents of the people from the places. So there's whole bits of language in there that it's really hard to understand what the words are. So quite often you have to work out what's the accent and then out loud read with the Boston accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, cool. And then so you're kind of in and out of the story.
You've got a pretty good Boston accent too, I reckon.
I can say car. Yeah, you drive your car.
But is that your in?
In...
You're into the accent. Like if someone says to a Boston accent, in your brain you say car.
I think so. Yeah.
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 They're trigger words to get your accent happening.
I'm not in any way an actor type person that does accent. I do accents okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not
an actor. Accents aren't we allowed to do anymore?
I don't know.
What are the rules in what accents you're allowed to do?
I don't know if you're not allowed to do the accents as much as the stereotyping of the phrases of which people might...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty good delineation.
Do you know...
So I could just speak to you in a Pakistani accent for the rest of the day and it would be okay. As long as I didn't say I'm not going to say.
Well, I think you're allowed to. I think you're allowed to use accents. I don't think you're allowed. Well, you're allowed to do whatever you bloody well like.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I think you are. But I think the thing that it's whether you're using it to be to diminish the person or to ridicule the person that you're saying. And I think that's how a lot of people use it. For example, if I was to do a Yoda voice, I probably wouldn't be using it. I'd be using it in context as a Star Wars quote. Or if I did, it's a Cockney accent, I'd probably wouldn't be doing it to put down someone from that area. Now,
this comes back to the thing we started out talking about, which is the people that don't have a vested interest in being upset about a certain thing happening.
Yeah.
Quite often the people who would say, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make that voice anymore.
Yeah, okay. Well, fuck them. We're getting an E. I think that's just absurd. I think intention...
You agree it happens, though, don't you?
It does, yeah. But I think intention needs to be considered, and I think interpretation needs to be taken on board as well. I think it's that thing of that's racist. Well, I didn't mean it to be. Well, that makes you racist. I'm telling you I didn't mean it to be, and I'm being sincere. I'm not trying to defend myself unnecessarily.
I would hate to be a professional comic. It must be such a minefield now and I know it's an old trope, but in the increasingly politically correct world in which we live.
I think it probably makes it easier to be a comic.
No.
I think I can't believe
that's true.
Well, I think it's easier to...
So many subjects that you're not allowed to touch on.
I don't think...
Invoices that you're not allowed to use.
I don't think that's true. I think comic... And it seems if, as a comic, they do that. They do touch on those things. That's the... I think that's a job. Every comic thing that I've seen in the last 5 years has been outrageous and absolutely crossed the line. And when I say it's probably easier to be a comic, it's easier to get a reaction out of people these days. It's easier to be controversial.
Well, people are that's incredibly ready to be offended.
Yeah, which is awesome if you're a comic.
Yeah, but
particularly if you can be, because so much good comedy, not that I have ever delivered any, but what I've observed is so much good comedy is incredibly insightful about the time period. It's not just here's a funny joke, it's an observation of how things are at this point in time. It's like when I don't know if you ever saw the Chris Rock talking about gun control. It was a long time ago, like 15 maybe even 20 years ago. Yes. Saying we don't have a gun problem.
Yeah,
we have
yeah,
a bullet
yeah.
problem. It's yeah. like if bullets cost you $10,000, but there'd be no such thing as an innocent bystander. But is an incredibly insightful approach to that thing, and what is still a really controversial subject. And I don't know.
We should interview a comedian.
Yeah, we should interview one who is.
I've got one in mind.
We should interview one who's generally quite controversial and offends people, and we should also try to interview maybe some international comics who might be Indian or Pakistani and see what their approach is to, in India, do they put on an Aussie accent to take the piss out of how ridiculous it is when Australians call India doing telemarketing stuff like that? That could be something that they do. I don't know.
What causes a particular race to be offended not by what's being said, but just by the... I think... What am I trying to get to? New Zealanders don't get offended about you making a New Zealand accent in front of them.
You said you.
See?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, okay. Because they've heard it all before.
Yeah.
Just wave your hooves in the air. But... Is it the nature of it being the country or the race in question that is being not mocked but having their accent used a minority somehow? I can't get away from the idea that, that people who don't have any right to be offended by these things are offended on behalf of...
I've worked with people, you know, I come from another part of the world. I'm not Australian. I mean, you know, I'm an Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this... It also comes down to the thing of, well, you go back far enough, everyone's from somewhere else. So, mm-hmm. like, why, you know, this whole idea of whether something's my country or your country is dumb to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an intellectually redundant conversation. I don't understand why anyone could feel like my Australia is more your Australia.
There's something immediately offensive about someone doing an Australian Aboriginal accent.
Is there?
Yes.
Right.
I think in most people's minds, you don't do it anymore. They don't do it anymore. They used to, and they don't anymore. And I think if a professional comic got up on stage and did it, there would be a problem.
Here's the thing about that. If I've just come back from Darwin and I was reenacting a conversation that I had with, you know, a man that I met who was an Aborigine, and I had my voice and his voice for... It's exactly the same thing as I was saying, like, I do my dad's voice when I tell you about some conversation I had with my dad.
100%.
I think that am I intending to be more authentic in the telling of the story, or am I being a jerk? And I think that's the thing. I think it's quite obvious when someone's being a jerk. But like,
if we did that on stage at one of our gigs, someone would tell us we were being racist. For damn sure.
Fuck them.
And if we did it at Crown, we'd probably get banned.
That's the thing. Like, look, that scenario there is pretty much if you're on stage with a microphone in an open forum, like it is a Crown at a gig. If you're in a comedy club, on stage in a comedy club, and you're the only person that really should have the focus on them, I still think that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Interesting.
And I think that's the thing about comedy. I don't like stand-up comedians. I think they go up with an act. I don't think their intention is to be offensive. Their intention is to bring something forward or to discuss the social commentary on a certain thing. And if people get offended about something, it's about the person who's offended.
No. Definitely.
Whereas, for example, yes, I would agree with you. We should not get up and just put on random accents, you know, because people at our gigs, because there will be people there that aren't part of the context of the conversation. I think stand-up comedy, if you were there for a stand-up comedy show, you're there for a stand-up comedy show. I
definitely want to get a comic on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. But I think as far as getting offended on other people's behalf, that is ridiculous and absurd to me.
Mm.
I think there's a thing of, if you are being a jerk, then absolutely I've got no issue with people defending people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But it's that kind of, there's that grey area of, I wasn't being a jerk, I was telling a story, and you know, my boss is from India, he has an Indian accent, and so I'm doing the accent to be authentic in the storytelling. I think that's one thing that's completely reasonable. If you're telling a story because your boss is a jerk in has been shitty to you, right, in the Indian accent, that's where I think, because I think what you're trying to do is portray your boss in a bad light, and incidentally he's got an accent, so I do think that that's a problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird line to draw.
Yeah.
No,
because what you're not having that conversation. Your intention is to make your boss, your intention is to make your boss look bad anyway. It wouldn't matter where he was from or what his accent was, right?
But you're just telling a story.
But you're still trying to make your boss look bad. And I think that's the thing. If you tell a story about how awesome my boss, he's coming to work with a box of donuts for everyone, or...
And what did he say when he brought them in?
I don't know, because that's never... but even just, you know, the way that someone from another culture speaks English and uses
You're nervous about doing it, though, aren't you?
I am because I just made up that scenario. Like if I was trying to think of something that actually happened,
mm-hmm. So you don't associate with anyone like that, racist.
Hey, my dog's black.
I don't.
He's beautiful. Still got it. Not gonna work. Well, I didn't mean to be offensive. I genuinely didn't. So. So
if
someone is, I do sincerely apologise. I didn't mean it. Yeah. Just being silly.
Yeah. Good.
But if you do wish to categorise me as being something for the rest of my life, and then I think you've got a problem. Oh my god, we've been talking for 40 minutes.
Yeah. It's time to go.
Do you want to ask some questions?
Dude, I've done nothing but ask you questions since we got here.
Okay.
Oh, do you want to answer some questions? Answer? Ask.
I've got some questions. Quick.
Okay.
All right. What are the merits of vegetarianism? Come on. Can't be that many.
Aside from health. Which I don't care about. That's not why.
You don't even have to have an aside from health. But you know, I did say merits, so yeah, give me more than one. Health is good.
I believe that we don't, as a human species, we don't have the right, and in most parts of Western society, we don't even have the necessity to take the life of another sentient being. So that's why I stopped eating meat. Quite a few years ago now.
A long time, yeah.
How long has it been? Don't ask me how many houses.
Well, three. It's been three houses.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Yeah.
That's many years. Okay.
That's a good answer.
All right.
Yeah. Completely acceptable.
It certainly wasn't health concerns.
It is acceptable.
And vegetarian I continue to be a vegetarian in the same way, which is, you're told by health professionals that being a vegetarian you don't just stop eating meat. You're supposed to supplant your diet with all the things that you miss out on by not eating those products anymore. I didn't. I just stopped eating meat. Stopped eating meat and I got fat because I ate rice and pasta instead.
So do you think you're a carbitarian?
Oh, 100%.
Right, okay.
Bread and pasta and rice. If I could have those things with just sides of chocolate, not much chocolate.
And occasionally some vegetables.
I love chocolate. I don't even like vegetables.
So really, not so much a vegetarian, but non-carnivore. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I don't like vegetables. I actually don't know what I live on.
Right, well.
Like I had an egg sandwich. I hate egg sandwiches, but that's all there was because I didn't get to eat earlier today. So I got an egg sandwich from the 7-Eleven on the way here today.
Here's a question for you.
Go on. Yeah, I'm veggie, not vegan. Go on.
Okay, yep. Well, no, it's not a question. It's just it's an animal product. It's not a fertilised egg. So it's not, you're not eating a potential baby chicken. No, we're good.
Yeah. I think that's my take on it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Eggs particularly.
Yeah.
They're going to happen anyway. Eggs happen.
Yeah. I was just thinking of how existential it is. Can't even say the word. Oh, here we go. Here's one. Do you have anything else to say before I move on quickly?
No.
Okay. Do you rely on reviews before you see movies, buy a book, or go to a restaurant?
Restaurants, yes. Books and movies, no.
Okay, good. Do you want to say anything else about that?
I think the advent of in the food thing of Zomato, formerly Urban Spoon, it's pretty amazing. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
Getting a consensus from a bunch of people who have been to the same place and had varying experiences.
Yeah.
So I certainly my going out thing, I start there, but then a lot of the time I just go and have my own experience anyway.
Yeah, would never have, because I'm such a weirdo with food anyway that I just go, like, I don't care what anything.
But it's no different to walking down a street strip where there's a bunch of restaurants and you see that three of them are empty and one of them's full, and you probably go to the full one because you think,
absolutely not.
Yeah,
I know why people would want to go to the full one, right? But I'd be like, I won't be able to have a conversation with you. I'll be able to hear you. Just be a whole bunch of other people talking really loud.
All right.
I'm just going to eat. I'd rather have some privacy. I'd rather go to the quiet restaurant. Yeah.
Okay.
If someone said, this looks really popular and people like it, I want to go in here, I wouldn't jump up and down and go, no, because I'd rather have a quiet experience. I would go if they wanted to go.
I had quite an experience this week. on the subject of books, I read a book today. I don't read very much anymore. I used to be a voracious reader, but I
find busy.
Mainly finding my life is so full.
Yeah, we drive 10 hours a week. Yeah, plus.
Completely, yeah.
That's a whole book.
In bed at night, though. I used to read at night.
Yeah.
And now I don't. Now,
do you have a TV in your bedroom?
I have my phone in my bedroom.
Ah, right.
And I prop it up on one pillow, and I watch it until I fall asleep. And that's my wind down.
Wow.
But that's when I watch TV. I don't watch TV during the day.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that literally four paragraphs into a page pass out. So I just do that. It takes me a really long time to read a book. It's actually why I like short stories. Because I can do this. Seven pages. All right.
Huh.
Yeah, I can do it. I feel like I can do it. I never do. I always fall asleep.
But when I was in Queensland just recently, I had downtime. I had an hour. And that sounds kind of silly and a bit martyrish, but I had an hour where I left my phone in the hotel room, went down to the hotel bar, got a beer, took a book, and sat there for an hour and read a book.
Wow.
And it was awesome. And I was uncontactable and didn't feel any pressing need to... Well, nothing was going to happen in an hour, except that stuff does happen. And did.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You know what? Everything happens.
Everything happens. Egg happens.
Mm.
Yeah, eggs happen.
Mm. That Doors song, Things Happen, that's all they ever do.
Huh?
The lyric from...
Oh, that Doors.
Yeah. Doors, Dawes.
Yes,
yeah.
Not
that.
I am the Lizard King!
Not that Doors.
So it was a great time, until I realised that I actually had somewhere to be, and I went to the bar and said, I've had a fantastic time down here. I deliberately left my phone in the room so I was uncontactable, but now I realise I don't know what time it is. Can you tell me time, please?
Wow. That's cool.
You got one more for me?
No, I got four.
We want to wrap this up.
No, we don't. We're 47 minutes in. It's fine.
Dude!
All right, I'll skip this one.
Okay.
Go to this one. Dude.
Great, man.
All right. How do you react when a friend criticizes you?
Doesn't happen.
No. Yes, it does.
Was that a criticism? No, that's just an automatic game.
Well, my problem with you is you think no one ever criticizes you. That's a criticism.
I don't like being criticized at all.
Yeah. I have a feeling about this question with this... Not about you. Not about you.
Did you see my reaction, though? There was your answer. Yeah. It's like, oh, fucking have you.
I have a feeling about it is that it could be a little bit to do with the fact that of how we, what we do for a job. Like, so we are not in an office or in a work environment with, you know, colleagues 40 plus hours a week where everyone's kind of in each other's toes and, you know, putting annoying tuna sandwiches in the fridge, fucking tuna sandwiches, you know what I mean? Like, things that, you know, really can bother people. We don't really experience particularly much being musicians.
Mm.
And having worked in environments like that before, I am aware of what that can be like where you've done something, all you've done is put that last tuna sandwich in the fridge, but the 6 months of tuna sandwiches before, right, that's what everyone's got the problem with. Mm-hmm. So to you it feels like, well, it's just a tuna sandwich, but for them it's 6 months of...
And also, it's just a tuna sandwich. And I've been doing this for 6 months.
Yeah.
Why do you want now?
Exactly, yeah. So I know that I don't have a lot of that, you know, those scenarios in my life, so I don't get to experience much. But I also wonder about if it's, you know, we were talking in a previous podcast about just the way society is now, and that we actually really do avoid conflict and we go somewhere else, like we go onto social media or something like that. Because I noticed that so many tweets or whatever, Facebook posts are about, when you're on the tram, it's what's funny about it is when someone's making a comment like that to the world through a device, right, they don't really know, like they think they're talking to their friendship group, they don't know that their friends don't behave that way. So I've read stuff that pisses my friends off about things that other people do in their everyday life, and I've gone, I do that all the time. Does that make me a jerk?
A friend of ours posted the other day, basically asking for new gripes. What's the stuff that annoys you? And the last thing I looked at, and this is just a mate of ours, 277 comments.
Wow. I mean, was one of them merging on a freeway?
No, it wasn't, and I didn't think I'd buy into it. And tongues firmly placed in cheek, he said, let the negativity commence.
Yeah, right. That's just not cool.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, he was...
I've just said that's just a funny guy. I don't know who it is. I've just said that that's not cool. I don't know who's done that, right? It doesn't mean I don't think that... It doesn't mean that everything I think about that person is that they're a joke.
No.
But I do find that funny of the times sometimes when you read something and go, oh, that person's not referring to me, but I do that. And then other times where I look at something and I go, oh, I really like you. I wish you wouldn't say stuff like that because I know that about you. I kind of like you less.
Oh, yeah, we've touched on that before. Yes.
About you. All right, last question.
I'm getting to know you.
5 movies you could watch over and over and over
again. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. I know 5's big. It's a big number for you because you...
Yeah, I usually stop after 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Because I get either lost in thinking about what that was or just can't think because my brain doesn't work very well. Oh, I'd like to hear yours of this too,
though. Do you think your brain doesn't work well or do you think it doesn't work well because you say my brain doesn't work well?
I don't think it works well.
Okay. Is it just self-perpetuating? Why did you fuck that up? Well, my brain doesn't work well. Oh.
In some ways, we've already touched on this, where you've said we might be coming to the realisation that my memory isn't half as bad as I think it is, and yours isn't half as good as I think it is.
Yeah. Hopefully everything balances out.
Yeah.
Yeah, in life.
Yeah. But I find certainly people will ask me questions like that, and it's not that I'm slow-witted, but I actually can't think of the answers to those questions. So sometimes my initial answer,
yeah,
like when we spoke about best and worst overseas holidays experience.
Yeah.
Sometimes my first answer isn't necessarily the correct one. It's the one that sticks in my brain because I might have told the story before and that's become part of my kind of surface narrative.
Yeah.
Which is why I tend not to tell negative stories or stories where something bad has happened to me. Because I know a lot of people who do that, and it becomes part of their
story, yeah,
their actual everyday this is who I am story. Which is why I genuinely believe this, that I actually don't remember very many bad experiences in my life. And it's not because necessarily my life's been completely idyllic. Like, bad stuff happens to people all the time. And good stuff happens to people all the time. But I very much focus on the good stuff. I guess it's been a deliberate choice.
Okay, cool.
So maybe Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Do you remember?
Probably not. Never start a sentence with, do you remember?
2004. So I went to my cousin's wedding in the UK and you had a corporate gig in Singapore and we both happened to be in Singapore at the same time. And that was right around the time of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And the sweet bakery, those sort of bakeries.
Yes.
And there was a
yes!
There was a food stuff and it was called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Bacon.
Yes, it was.
That was before you had cameras in your phone to be able to take a photo of that and post it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Bacon. And I actually think we were walking down the street and I said, look at that. And you've gone, I love that movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Other movies I could watch over and over.
Yes.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Great film.
I don't know, is it?
He's fantastic.
He's fantastic. Great. Yeah. She's great.
Who's the lady?
Sally Field.
Oh, of course it is. Yes. Yeah, of course.
Runaway Bride. She's beautiful in it.
Yeah, right.
Runaway Bride's a movie as well. I'm not suggesting
I It's two movies.
I haven't seen either.
Julia Roberts has done a Runaway Bride.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's great.
I think I remember having a conversation with you about movies where I said to you that I was making a valiant attempt at actually watching more films.
That's why I don't read as much. Something's got to give, dude.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Oh, also, I've got more access to them than I have ever had in any...
How so?
Just got a lot of movies that people have given me.
DVDs.
Yeah, and Blu-ray. And Blu-ray player. Yeah. The first Blu-ray I ever bought was... I had a really sad day. You know how people talk about retail therapy? And they say it in this very kind of offhand sort of way. But it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a true fact.
Yeah, I buy guitars when I'm sad.
Okay, well,
that's why I have so many guitars.
Oh, dude! I wish you wouldn't.
I know, but I sell guitars so I can buy guitars. So I actually have been a lot sadder than I let on because I've had to cycle through.
Oh, dude!
Yeah.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know, so then what I have to do is I have to mourn the loss of the guitar that I once had, right? And then kind of bury it with the joy of a new one. Oh, it's okay.
It's not okay.
It's actually okay. Anyway, retail therapy bought a Blu-ray.
Yeah, sorry. And I bought Sting live in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Which was his orchestra tour one. The one that I saw at Sydney Lyre Music Bowl here.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Did you ever see that the doco of him performing the songs from his musical?
No, you're talking about it. I haven't seen it.
Really, really great.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know you really like Sting. I think he's phenomenal and just, you know, but I'm not a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of thing that any time...
Have you read his autobiography?
No.
He's harder to be a fan of after you
read it. Okay. Did you see recently the video of Jose Feliciano playing? Oh, that was
tremendously awkward to watch.
And I really felt for him because it was obviously such a uncharitable rendition.
Yes. I don't think it was as bad, by the way, as people were prepared to believe.
Oh, I think it was pretty bad. And I think when you think of the context of what was happening as well, and you see him, yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
He's clearly a remarkable musician who has pretty high standards of,
yes, of things. What's interesting about that song, does he still do it live, Sting?
I don't know.
I think he does.
You've seen him.
Yeah, I can't remember.
How many houses ago?
Yeah. I know, I'm almost certain he did do it.
Yeah.
But it's a stalker song. Yeah. It's not a lovely, sweet love song.
No.
It's
one of those conversations you have to have with wedding clients, isn't it? Do you know this
is...
I know it's your song, but...
Yeah.
It's not really nice.
Yeah, I will love you always.
Bon Jovi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Down in a Blaze of Glory, totally up for. That's a great wedding song, because it sounds like you've got a bit of a sense of humour.
I played at a wedding once and their bridal dance was Ain't That a Kick in the Head.
Right.
And that was meant to be funny, so yeah, that's all right.
That's good.
Let me get away with that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
You'll give me two movies.
Oh, I have two.
Yeah.
Can we come back to it? Dude, it's an hour.
I know.
Let's wrap it up.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
Give them all the information.
You can... email Matt and I subjects to talk about or song requests, or if you want to come on to the podcast as an interviewee or even suggest someone that we could have a chat to, because obviously as fascinating as you and I are, it would be actually what we've really wanted to do is start this off so we could, you know, get involved with other people and see how the rest of the world thinks about things. Mm. So matt@trc.com, dom@trc.com, or just trc.com. You can just go in and email us. Facebook?
Yes.
TRC. Oh, no, it's not trc.com at all.
No, it's TRC Duo.
All right, start. Take 57.
Facebook.com/TRC Duo.
Excellent. Matt@trcduo.com. Dom@trcduo.com.
It's good.
Yeah. And the only reason we have separate ones, right, I thought, is in case someone wanted to, like, say, ask Matt about this or ask Dom about this.
Or if they wanted to criticise me but knew they couldn't do it to my face.
Because now we know how you feel about it.
Correct.
Yeah. Excellent. Really good.
All right.
All right. Should we say goodbye?
Yeah.
Do you have a song?
Oh, yeah, let's do a song. All right.
Maybe.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Episode 5.
Oh, we're going to have a guest.
Come this far?
I think we're going to have a guest, that one.
I think we should.
Secret guest.
Secret guest.
Yep.
Catch him on the flip side.
He'll be wearing a mask. and we're going to...
He's a Mexican wrestler.
We'll do that thing with the voice.
Oh, he's a dentist.
Yeah, we're going to pixelate his voice. Can you pixelate sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Effectively.
All right, cool. Yeah. Bye.